Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, being clean is important to us. We are regularly, daily involved in the process of cleansing ourselves. Merchants have certainly picked up on the desire for people for cleanliness. We are aware of advertisements in magazines and on TV touting the benefits of using various hand soaps, body soaps, and shampoos. The passage from Isaiah is about becoming clean. However, these words are not dealing with any ordinary cleansing. This is an awesome cleaning, a spiritual one, which concerns sins, moral dirt. Only God can carry out this cleaning. Our text proclaims a divine cleansing, which is divine as well, in its totality, in its being planned long ago, and in its certainty. Isaiah is preaching that God brings about a cleansing of sins which is total. The prophet, as part of his ministry, had to expose all the transgressions of his countrymen, which were terrible and countless. In our text, he focuses on one aspect of their wickedness, their hypocritical worship. Many were indeed outwardly fulfilling the ceremonial law of God's covenant with Israel. They were doing what was required with regard to sacrifices, observing sacred days and festivals, and calling solemn assemblies. Beyond the ceremonial law, they were offering petitions to the Lord according to their custom, spreading out their hands to the Lord in prayer. But God could see underneath their mechanical fulfillment of the law and their mumbling of words. He could look into their hearts, and he saw that their hearts were far from him. Their lack of faith was proven, demonstrated by their wicked lives, by all the crimes and deceitfulness of which they were guilty. So God rejected their sacrifices, and he did not listen to their petitions, since the very hands they were spreading out in prayer were, so to speak, full of blood. Isaiah's countrymen really look bad in our text. But we have to admit that we in no way stand guiltless before the Lord. By nature, we are sinful and unclean, and there has been plenty of evidence of our original corrupt nature in our lives. If it is not hypocritical worship, it is something else, some other wrong actions or lack of action. And we know how we have violated God's holy will with our words and with our thoughts. Despite this ugly reality, in Isaiah's day and our day, of unclean humanity, of people filthy with sin, God, through the prophet, spoke the amazing words of verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Wool in Isaiah's day was white. What a powerful, striking contrast. From deep red to absolute white. From being dirty with transgression to being completely clean, pure, in God's sight. No matter how grievous our sins have been, no matter how many, this is a promise of absolute cleansing, of every crimson stain being washed away. We could never accomplish this. No matter how good we try to be, we still sin. We could never rid ourselves of guilt. We could not and cannot, by our own effort, present ourselves to the Lord as spiritually white, spotless. Only God can bring about this total cleansing. It is entirely His work. These words from Isaiah remind us of something else. The plan for this divine cleansing of sinful people was formulated by God long ago. Notice how in verse 18, there is no mention of how God will affect this whitening of sins. This verse, again, occurs in the first chapter of the book. Isaiah assumes that his addressees, the wicked leaders and citizens of Judah, will understand his gospel message. They had been catechized in the faith. And although they had rejected this faith, they still would understand what Isaiah was talking about. He was referring to the teaching of deliverance from sins that was possible because of the coming Savior. Isaiah hoped that through the gospel they would recall, they would be restored to faith. The good news of God cleansing the sins of transgressors, of rescuing people from their iniquity, was believed by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and passed on by their descendants from generation to generation in both oral and written form. This good news was based on the first promise of the Savior given by God in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis 3:15. Since that time, God had given to his chosen people many more messianic prophecies, so that by Isaiah's day, the fund of messianic knowledge was rather large. God's plan of salvation was further emphasized to the Israelites by aspects of his covenant with them, especially the sacrifices, which pointed to the future Lamb of God. We are reminded in another way, then, by the words of Isaiah, that we play no part in our spiritual cleansing. This is God's work according to his plan, which he devised long before our time, with no advice from us or any other fallen, sinful human beings. As we had no role in God's plan coming about, we also contribute nothing to its being successfully carried out. Therefore, God does accomplish complete cleansing of sins according to his plan, which was in place long ago. More than that, God makes this total, absolute cleaning certain to us. If we were responsible in even the smallest measure for the purification of our sins, we would be plagued constantly by an accursed uncertainty. Have we done all that is necessary? Have we been good enough? No, God makes his divine cleaning certain to us through his word, which tells us that God can cleanse us of the guilt of our sins because of what God himself has accomplished. God, according to his justice, could not just wash away our crimson stains. A price had to be paid first for our transgressions. Because, as God's word announces to us, God himself paid that price. Our cleansing is sure. It is divinely certain. The Son of God became man, our substitute. He bore the awful penalty of the world's transgressions. He suffered hell for us and all people on the cross, and he arose triumphant from the dead. Because of Jesus Christ, the God-man, God could speak the words of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And for us and all who believe in Christ, those words are a blessed reality. God has made and will make every single one of our filthy sins as white as snow. Another way of saying this is that through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness and everlasting life. However, not only does the word of God, which we hear and read, make clear to us our being clean, God makes our cleansing certain because he makes this tangible to us. We are physical beings, and God uses material elements to assure us that we are truly cleaned of our sins. When water joined to God's word was applied to us in baptism, we were actually washed away of our sins. In the Holy Supper, when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we are receiving in a personal, individual, tangible manner the forgiveness of our sins because we are receiving the very body and blood of Christ. This is the body that was given into death in payment for our transgressions. This is the blood which cleanses us of all sin. Our text from Isaiah contains beautiful words proclaiming crimson sins being made white, a people being purified of their iniquity. This is a divine cleansing which only God can bring about. And it is divine also in its totality, in its being planned long ago, and in its certainty. Rejoice. Amen.